Good morning and welcome, my friends. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. And go Gators. And go to the parade today, Ocala. Got the Budweiser Clydesdales out there. That is between 5 and 7 Ocala. They'll be closing some streets down, obviously, for that. But enjoy. And, of course, the Gators are a top seed in the bracketology. They play their game Friday against Norfolk State. And that is 6:50 p.m. Friday. Go Gators. Love that. They won the SEC tournament yesterday, beating Tennessee 86-77. What else is going on locally? Well, one of your top stories, an icon of a building and really a treasure, the VFW on Waldo Road may be going bye-bye. Yeah, the building with the tank out front, kind of hard to miss. Been there since, I guess the formation of the club began in like 1933 of that club, but I'm not sure how long they were in that particular building. It may have been that long, but they want to kind of redo that area. Yeah, they want to expand and build a recreational complex because it's right there by the football fields, right? So they want to make it a multi-use park with a municipal sports building, possibly, maybe a new larger pool. Those are some of the things that they're talking about with that economic development. But that is going to mean probably demolishing that building. In the post main meeting hall, surrounded by military memorabilia stretching from World War II to the present day, regular VFW members and auxiliary discuss the new challenges now facing the local veterans organization. And, you know, at least the city has, you know, come and talked to them and told them, you know, what the deal was, and hopefully they can work something out that benefits everybody. Under consideration, a playground, multi-purpose fields. It's called the Citizens Field Revitalization Project, and it'll cover approximately 36 acres. So, you know, even the folks at the VFW say, yeah, look, that's, you know, that's a great, you know, thing to do, expand recreational opportunities, especially for young people. But they also don't want to close up their post either. So hopefully they'll, I don't know, find a new location that works. And that would be the hope. They're about 200 members, I guess, and they do a lot of stuff for the community, and they've used that building for other community type events, not just for the VFW folks alone. So hopefully good things will happen there, like I said, for all involved. You know, this terrorism against Tesla and even the charging stations, that needs to be really addressed and cracked down on. It's got to be unacceptable behavior. And Senator Mark Kelly, Democrat out of Arizona, he had to trade in his Tesla.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Did the vehicle go through any sort of metamorphosis when Elon Musk decided that he was going to help Donald Trump and indeed give of his own free time to help clean up the waste and fraud in Washington? Did the vehicle, the mechanical aspects of the vehicle change at all?
I don't believe they did, and I don't believe that even those charging stations that they're trying to damage, I don't think they've not changed their views either.
Interesting that I love my Tesla. I love my Tesla is all that I heard from everybody who had one.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And
in your face with them, kind of thing.
Then all of a sudden, yes. Elon Musk decides that, you know, he wants to help President Trump.
Oh, for free, no less. Hello, yeah.
Oh, but right. He's evil. He's evil.
He's trying to take all that money so they can give their rich.
Isn't he one of
friends?
The richest guys in the world already?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Like he cares what's in your bank account.
Yeah.
No.
So this Senator Mark Kelly, you know, he had to trade his in because politically it just wouldn't look right, right?
Right.
Well, he received a wave of criticism on Friday when he announced his plans to trade it.
Well, good.
He shared his video on X, And this is what the lefties are all doing, too.
Yeah.
See, they want a badge of honor. They don't want to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get their bet. Look at me.
See what I did?
Look at me. Yep.
Well, we've seen video of them putting them on trailers and having them hauled off traded in. And yeah, that's really hurting Elon Howe.
He pointed to his Tesla saying he was driving it to work for the final time. When I bought this thing, I didn't think it was going to become a political issue. The car didn't become a political issue until the lefties made it one. He claimed that each time he has driven the EV in the past 60 days or so, it reminds me of just how much damage Elon Musk and Donald Trump is doing to our country.
Wow.
What would that damage be?
I don't know. Trying to get it to run more efficiently, which actually could benefit the American people and their taxes.
Being better stewards of the American taxpayer dollar, making government run more effectively and efficiently, cutting waste and fraud. How does that ruin our country? How does that negatively impact democracy?
But a way to help that is to go with a can of spray paint and write Nazi on the side of somebody else's car.
Works every time.
Every
time. Yeah. The world's problems have been solved by calling people names.
And spray painting.
And spray paint.
Yeah.
Works every time.
Huh.
Yeah. Right. Let's go to the Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Tom, you're on the air.
You see, you guys are thinking too small. You're thinking locally, even for our country. Elon Musk and Donald Trump have become existential threats even greater than climate change, which was going to destroy the whole planet. So think in those terms, guys. How ridiculous are these idiots? Thank you.
I love that existential threat.
Yeah, they've actually done some stuff in Berlin, which is kind of ironic if you're going to be calling people Nazis and stuff. But anyway, they've done some protesting over there, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's, I guess, always going to be some people that don't quite get it.
No.
Yep, like the judge that said, no, I don't want you deporting these dangerous gang members who don't belong here. I want to stop that.
Wow.
Well, you know, thank goodness it was too late. Trump's presidential action entitled the Invocation of the Alien Enemies Act regarding the invasion of the United States by Tren de Aragua states that TDA is a designated foreign terrorist organization, true, with thousands of members, true, many of whom have unlawfully infiltrated the U.S. and are conducting irregular warfare and undertaking hostile actions against the United States, well, which they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have infiltrated many states. I want to say a dozen.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
And they're an extremely dangerous presence. They're extremely violent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're violent just for the sake of being violent in many cases. These people are twisted. And I'm probably being kind, but, you know, on the radio, so you can only
say so much.
Right. Yep. So there are people that want to keep the dangerous gangs in the U.S., they don't want them deported, including a judge? How do you defend that? Of course, you don't want to expose your own family to those people. You only rule that way for political reasons and because you don't think it'll impact your family. Okay. I don't like to take those kind of chances with the people I love and care about, but I guess they do.
Yeah.
It's 9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a very happy St. Patrick's Day on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:20, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. A very troubling story that we had to share with you today. We had a special guest in Nanette Holt from Epoch Times, and they're shining a spotlight on something that has been going on for a while and impacts North Central Florida. We're supposed to be the horse capital of the world, and apparently there is an illegal horse meat market, basically, and there's a lot of victims here in North Central Florida, and it's disgusting. There's, in some cases, they're buying horses legally. and then they're butchering them up at illegal slaughterhouses. The reason? This horse meat, especially the higher the breed of horse, but theoretically, like a thoroughbred, then the more money the meat goes for. Yeah, people in different cultures apparently think there's something special about it. So it goes for $20 to $40 a pound on average. They're slaughtering these animals, well, in a not very humane way. And there is no legal market for any of that. It's all illegal. But they're having a hard time to get law enforcement involved. And it's also difficult to catch the people, apparently, they're involved in this. Now, some horses are bought legally and then slaughtered, which is illegal. And then some are just stolen. And that's one of the biggest fears for a lot of people, losing their horse. Well, more than 7,400 people have joined Facebook users on a site called Keeping Florida Horses Safe and Suspicious Activity. So that would be a good site to be on. Keep an eye out for, you know, your neighbors. But let's say they steal the horse. They don't go very far. They slaughter it right there. So it's not like they need horse trailers. They slaughter it in close proximity in the, you know, late night or early morning hours in most cases. Imagine walking up on that. It's your pride and joy. Ugh. I just, you know, we've come a long way in terms of going after people who are, you know, cruel to animals. I don't know what could be crueler than that. Anyway, we wanted to shine a spotlight on that, and it's another reason for you to maybe have the podcast availability, because we talked to Nanette Holt about this at 8:05. So if you have the Bob Rose podcast, you go back to 8:05, and you could listen to that interview. And the podcast, of course, is free. All you have to do is download it where you normally get your podcast. You can also use the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show and important interviews like that one that may impact you directly. All right? Davis Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on?
Hey, so this horse meat thing, I haven't heard a direct connection with the Mexican invasion, so I wanted to do it because I've lived here my whole life. And the advent of the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, I've driven I-75, 441, Ocala, Bellevue, Redick. I've been everywhere all the time. And it hasn't been until the last 20 years that there have been cultural communities of Mexican heritage everywhere, everywhere, everywhere.
Hmm.
The invasion. Now, how does that coincide with horse meat trade? I wonder. God bless America.
Yeah, and I don't know, and Nanette didn't point out specifics to that. And, I mean, I guess if it is all, let's say, Hispanics or Mexicans involved in it.
I thought that was the reference of some Cuban connection.
Oh, I know South Florida connection, mm-hmm. but Cuban? Okay. All right. So
possibly, yes.
Look, I don't know the answer to that, quite frankly, but anybody who's involved in doing it, we want them to get caught, to get punished, and for everybody else to stop.
And again, this is not one of those deals where they're just doing it to get the meat. It's those kind of like the ones who will kill certain animals just to steal, you know, the horns or the antlers and grind them up for things they think it does for them, but it does not. That's the same concept with the meat they're getting on these expensive horses.
Yeah, it's just disgusting, the whole idea, the whole thing. It's just absolutely disgusting.
Well, the fact that then you can't really do anything about it. You can catch them slaughtering your horse, and there's not much you can do.
No, there's a lot you can do. It's just you may face, you know,
your own charges. Yeah.
Yeah. The criminal justice system doesn't do much about the horse thieves who are mutilating and slaughtering these horses in inhumane ways. But if you take action, damn well will go to prison, it sounds like. Yeah, that's twisted.
They got to fix that.
They need to address that.
Yeah.
Hey, this is kind of troubling. And these drugs have been out for a while. And I thought that there were some common warnings. There is, but there's still a lot of people that are falling through the cracks, so to speak. It's a class of drugs that are commonly used to treat movement disorders like Parkinson's disease and restless leg syndrome. The problem with the drugs is in a pretty good percentage of the people that are prescribed this, it causes them to get into risky sexual behavior. Yeah, patients taking these dopamine agonists say that the drugs have triggered uncontrollable impulses, including flashing, sex addiction, and even pedophilia, according to one case, leaving the folks struggling with feelings of shame and confusion. Yeah. Now, these reports were reviewed by the BBC, and they suggest that the drug maker GSK has known about the risks of the so-called deviant sexual behavior since 2003, but many patients claim their doctors continue to fail to warn them about these potentially devastating side effects. I don't know. Each doctor might treat it differently when they're prescribing it, how they address it to the patient. If some just say, hey, remember, there's risk and warnings with all of these drugs, please read that list of precautions and stuff carefully. Dopamine agonists mimic dopamine, a key brain chemical that controls movement and is activated by pleasure. However, these drugs can overstimulate feelings of pleasure while at the same time dulling the brain's ability to recognize the consequences of our actions.
That's a bad combo.
That can lead to impulse control disorders. With studies showing, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
13 to 24% of Parkinson's patients on these dopamine agonists develop these impulsive side effects.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it is a warning about risky behaviors is listed along with the other side effects like nausea and insomnia. Wow. And they say a lot of these things, they may be going unnoticed or undiagnosed.
Wow, that's scary.
Wouldn't you recognize changes in your own behavior that are that extreme?
Well, if your brain is not giving you the flag on the consequences, maybe not.
Kind of scary, isn't
it? It is. Yeah, it is.
9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. We're about 15 minutes away from things that will make you smile on 97.3 The Sky. I was just trying to come up with my promo.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
I know, because you have to record it.
Uh-huh.
It is 9:36. Good morning. Welcome. Happy Monday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Oh, another beautiful day in paradise. Yeah. It's not going to be as warm as it has been today. What are we looking for highs? Around 70-ish?
I don't think we'll reach that.
70-ish?
Mid-upper 60s.
Really?
Probably. Yeah. Today's kind of the cool day.
Enjoy it. I think Wednesday I saw a high around 80 and very sunny. That
but
looks
the
good.
Mornings are still going to be kind of cool again.
Oh, yeah.
But then getting into some nicer temps later on as the week goes along.
Indeed. Enjoy it before it becomes melt-your-face weather, because that goes on for a few months.
Yep.
The more we can stave that off, the longer we can stave that off.
Keep your face intact.
The better. Yes.
Always a good thing.
Trump and Putin are supposed to get together and talk, maybe as early as tomorrow. This is a good thing, which is kind of like my promo. It was going to be something along the lines of, you know, if you think leaving dangerous, violent gang members to roam the streets of America is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you might be a Democrat.
Yeah.
If you believe that peace between Ukraine and Russia is a bad thing, you might be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of like,
that's why
I was kind of rolling in that direction.
See the pattern here, yeah.
President Donald Trump's deputies deported 261 criminal migrants to detention centers in El Salvador, just beating out a U.S. judge's desperate attempt to block the international enforcement of the nation's immigration laws. Secretary of State Marco Rubio thanked the president of El Salvador for accepting 238 Venezuelan migrants. He said, "We have sent two dangerous top MS-13 leaders, plus 21 of its most wanted, back to face justice in El Salvador." Just as promised, by POTUS, we sent over 250 alien enemy members of Tren de Aragua, which El Salvador has agreed to hold in their very good jails at a fair price that will also save our taxpayer dollars. Trump is using the 1798 Alien Enemies Act to speed the deportation of Venezuelan criminals past pro-migration lawsuits. On Saturday, U.S. Judge James Boasberg tried to block the repatriation of the migrants. Politico reported that a federal judge has ordered an immediate hold on efforts by President Donald Trump to quickly deport Venezuelan nationals under rarely used wartime powers intended to resist a foreign invasion, and demanded the return of planes already headed to Central America. Yeah, I'm sure once they got word on that, the judge ruled, you got to turn the planes around. I'm sure somebody on the other end said something along the lines of, we'll get right on that.
Yeah,
we'll get right on that. Yes, I will very quickly walk this information over to them. Mm-hmm. They're 7.5 miles away.
Yeah.
Right? No, they said, sorry, the plane's already in international airspace. Hello? Yeah, something but static. We can't reach them.
Hey, when that happens.
but the question is, so that's what happens. You've got a president that does have the power of the pen. Mm-hmm. It was okay when Barack Obama had the power of the phone, the power of the pen. But now when Donald Trump wields it, you got to question that. And not only question it, but have a federal judge put a hold on it, stopping the actions of a president. That there's the judges have too much power and influence because the way we've seen it go lately, you can always find a federal judge that doesn't like something Trump's doing.
Oh, and they know which ones to go to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They they'll throw up a roadblock everywhere, every time they can.
Yeah.
I know eventually SCOTUS will have to deal with this directly. And they'll have to talk about whatever the limitations of power they perceive there should be on either side. But do you want one member? And it's usually appointed, by the way. Mm. Do you want an appointed member of the judiciary to be able to overrule the highest office of the land, the president of the United States, who's duly elected? You think one judge in one area should be able to overrule what the president of the United States is trying to do? It doesn't make sense, does it? No. So, again, it'll be another issue that, from a legal perspective, will have to be dealt with. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin. The few times that I have seen him speak, I like this guy. He seems like he is sharp and articulate and on top of it. And he was on with Breitbart Saturday on their morning show and went over his recent historic launch of the largest deregulatory effort in U.S. history. Talked about the EPA's sweeping deregulations to save the coal industry and bring down the cost of living. After announcing 31 deregulations on Wednesday, including the termination of the Biden administration's environmental justice and DEI arms of the agency, undoubtedly, we're going to be able to create jobs, including inside the American auto sector. We will bring down the cost of living. It's going to be easier to heat your home, to purchase a vehicle, to operate a business. A lot of Americans struggling to make ends meet want common sense back into the federal government. We're going to do our part at the EPA, Zeldin continued. That's why we made this announcement. It's a lot of regulatory actions impacting the energy space. We want to make it easier for people to be able to access choice. Yep. In the announcement, the EPA stated that the deregulatory actions will roll back trillions in regulatory costs and hidden taxes on American families. Trillions over a period of time. One of the larger commitments made by the agency was to clear the hundreds of backlog cases having to do with clean air, saying the Biden administration focused on ideological pursuits rather than the agency's core mission. Absolutely. Yeah. They were using the EPA like a weapon to punish sectors of the energy but you know, sectors of the energy world and also, you know, just the business world. They would use it. They would use it as a very powerful tool to hurt and hamper businesses. President Trump talks about clean, beautiful coal, and that's what we're doing on Wednesday. We're going to save the coal industry. You know that coal can be utilized in a very clean way. Perfect? No. No, most energy sources, it's not a matter of perfection. But can it be burnt very, very cleanly? And the answer is absolutely yes. And we have employed that technology. And do they employ those same technologies in, say, China, where they've built a ton of coal-fired electric plants? The answer is absolutely not. They're starting to, finally, because their air got so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But they're way behind us in terms of being clean burners of coal, for sure.
But they're only an emerging, country, and so we have to bend the rules for them, and
only their part of the planet will feel the effects of this climate change.
They'll keep it over there. They'll keep it to themselves.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Oh yeah, no,
because they keep saying we need to save the planet. I'm thinking of the whole marble. You know what I mean?
Are you sure that's the right shape anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you turning into a flat earther?
Just asking for a friend.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines at Rosebud. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I'll segue because I wanted to talk about the horse, but I'll just say, look up ex-Secretary Granholm's new job. She's got a nice new cush job in California. She gave hundreds of millions of dollars to these big power companies, and now she's working for them. And I just want to say something about this horse stuff. People, the best thing you could do, you people down there in Marion County and you got horses, know your neighbors, get talking with your neighbors, and it's usually going to happen. There's about 4 days. The increase of the moon, full moon, decrease of the moon, where you got light. And I guarantee you they're using probably Milwaukee or some sort of electric saws, and they know what they're doing. It won't take 2 hours. I guarantee you they'll take a horse, and they'll have it chopped up and in the van in 30 minutes, 40 minutes, four or five people. Because I got a Milwaukee hacksaw. I put a 6-amp battery in it. I'm out on my porch with my little saws. That's the best. And I used to butcher 2,000-pound steers, my buddy and I. It didn't take us an hour to have it skinned and in the truck in quarters and to the Newbury cold storage. They know what they're doing. You got to watch what they're doing. You'll see the little lights out in the fields if they're doing it on full moons. The best thing is neighborhoods getting together, people getting together. That's why we got a bunch of these hogs out of here. Now I know all my neighbors. I got all their phone numbers now, and we're in contact with each other. We're watching each other's backs around here. That's the best thing you could do because it's everywhere. It's not just horses. It's steers. It's dogs and cats. It's goats. It's you name it, they're stealing it. It's like get back even with the gringos. You people have a nice day. It's keep the faith, and God bless America, guys.
God bless you, Rosebud. That's great advice, really. Mm-hmm. That's never a bad thing to know who your neighbors are, to be in contact, give each other phone numbers. Another thing they did, Rosebud, I don't know if he heard, but there's a Facebook page where they're, you know, equine people looking out for, and you don't have to own a horse to, like, be on the group looking out for people.
Right.
So, yeah, there's, you know, people can get involved in different ways. That's good advice, too, about the when there's more light,
mm-hmm.
you know, full moon type thing, scenario. But also, yeah, artificial lighting or mechanized tools that make noise. Those are all things that, yeah, you need to be
aware of. Yeah, motion detectors, lighting cameras. I mean, you got to be a little creative, I think, a little more so.
Yeah.
Yep, having to go that direction.
Yep. And I don't know, if I'm on a jury and somebody takes action against people that are slaughtering a horse or attempting to.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to err on the side of the good person who owns the horse, not the one who's attempting to slaughter it.
You,
but maybe that's just me.
You and your logic.
9:48 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, of course. And coming up next, things that make you smile. We're looking for upbeat, positive thoughts, and it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Time now for Things That Make You Smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. Call in now, 877-975-9825. And good morning, Cass. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Bob and team. Beautiful day out. I had a miracle happen. I had a miracle happen on Saturday. One of my cats was up on my huge roof, metal roof. I tried everything in my power to get him down. And I went in and got on my knees. And I prayed and I prayed to God. Then I went right back out, checked on him again. He jumped right in my arms. It was a true miracle. You guys are great. You always make Mondays great. I love you all. God bless you and God bless America, sir.
Oh, I'm glad your cat came down. Very nice. Let's go to GT. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Greg and Bob. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I am a Bohawk Irish, and I'm enjoying today. And what's more important, my 8-year-old Rottweiler birthday today, and I sang happy birthday to her this morning. You guys have a great day.
He sounds like an optimist, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Call in now, 877-975-9825. Peasant with a pitchfork, what's making you smile?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. What's making me smile is we got 2.25 inches of rain yesterday. This gorgeous weather's making me smile. Give me a chance to get some more work done outside without dying of heat. And another thing that's making me smile, it's making me laugh, is that we were all so stupid about stopping the war in Russia when it was so easy. All we had to do was build a bunch of Dollar Generals over there in every little village, put some Americans in there to run them, and Russia wouldn't dare.
Yeah. Remember, non-political things that make you smile. I know you can't help yourself. Good morning, Two Stroke. What's making you smile?
What's making me smile is, to stay on the animal theme, I also got my cat Squiggles back in after 2 weeks of being outside. The little bugger won't come, but I did catch him the last 2 days. And the next thing that makes me smile is every time Rosebud calls in. And the last thing that makes me smile is I still haven't been evicted. So anybody's got a room for rent, please reach out. Thank you, guys.
All right. Let's go to Sam, good morning. What's making you smile?
Good morning, fellas. It's little things like learning something new every day that makes me smile. And today I learned that the space between your eyebrows is called the glabella. For liberals, it's called the dead zone.
But I like it.
That was funny.
You know what's making me smile?
Well, tell us.
It is.
Yes.
St. Patrick's Day. What makes me smile is a St. Patrick's Day parade, and that is in Ocala today, and that will occur between 5 and 7 p.m. There'll be some street closures, of course, associated with that, so be aware if you're traveling through the area. But they're going to have the Budweiser Clydesdales as a part of that parade, and people will definitely be celebrating in Ocala and really everywhere around the world, actually.
Yeah.
Very much become an international thing now.
I've had a chance to be in a couple of parades. In fact, 1 year when still in St. Louis, it was with, you know, remember Joe Buck, the national sports guy,
yep.
Jack Buck, their dad. Well, Christine Buck, who was also one of the kids, she and I were on an antique fire truck. She worked for a TV station, and we were on an antique fire truck, which is a lot of fun, in the St. Louis St. Patty's Day parade a few years back.
Do you have the same time that I have?
I gave you a brand new, and that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, that means coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. So a woman's team, a basketball team from a Christian school, Columbia Bible College in British Columbia, they faced stiff criticism and harsh punishments. They refused to play and forfeit games against another school that allowed a transgender player to play. And they said, nope, we're not going to have none of that. The league punished them and accused the CBC of violating the civil rights of the trans player. Well, guess what? That Christian college came back and battled back against all the odds and won the championship after being sanctioned by the league for opposing transgender athletes. Sometimes sticking to your guns turns out to be your smoking gun. And that's your smoking gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great St. Patrick's Day. See ya!